Welcome to Money and Taxes from BB to XYZ, where we break down a single money topic and explain how it affects those across generations from baby boomers to XYZ. I'm Jason Spessener, certified financial planner and enrolled agent.
And I'm Regina Neenan, certified financial planner. So Jason, we're looking at building your financial plan in 2024. A lot of people are kind of getting that fresh start. Maybe they're reviewing their plan or planning for the first time. And one thing that we tend to see often is things that are completely left out.
Like things that you forget, like, wow, I didn't account for this or that thing. So it sort of highlights and emphasizes the importance of ongoing financial planning and understanding that each year and each, who knows, week or month, your financial plan might change. And so really just adding the things you forgot about when you created your first financial plan.
Right. I mean, when you think back of the financial plans that were delivered in binders, it was kind of a forever thing, or at least it seemed like more of a long-term thing. And if you forgot something, it's going to be a little while before it makes its way back into your plan.
I remember delivering some of my first financial plans in a binder. And yes, when you have 100 pages of paper in there and you need to correct something on page 67, it might be really difficult to do that. But nowadays, of course, we can make those changes pretty quickly and scenario test and ring the bells and blow the whistles within the planning analysis to see how that's going to affect you and what changes might be necessary and what sort of action items you might have. So,
yeah, this is not a thing of the past for sure. But now plans are always evolving and changing. You realize maybe after your first year of planning, oh, maybe I could do this or maybe I can do that. And so we're always adding things to our plans, but this is different. This is things that maybe you've completely forgotten the first time. You look back and you say, oh, shoot, like I really should have had that in my plan from the get-go.
Yeah, things that are pretty obvious as far as like what you should be doing to prepare for this stage, right? This time in your life and as a part of your broader and bigger picture to just make sure that you're covering all your bases and doing the right thing on your not only financial planning, but of course, life planning as well.
Yeah, and these really present some planning opportunities. You know, maybe it's not as much of an oops as you thought it was. And one that we really often see is vehicles. People don't always think about adding a vehicle as a goal because vehicles are tools, they're utilities. They're not really all that exciting or maybe goal oriented unless you have like a really fancy car in your goals list.
But right, I mean, we're still talking about a big old purchase. We're talking a five-figure asset on your balance sheet and something that you either have to come up with a significant amount of cash for or be prepared to borrow for and have a payment and work that into your cash flow plan. So yeah, a vehicle is an absolutely sort of transcends all the generations, doesn't it? Something that we see, we have to almost encourage clients to add into the financial plan.
Yeah. And you can't always go to your EFOF or your Emergency and Future Opportunities Fund for help with payments for other things like you could as easily as, you know, relying on that for a down payment for a car. So let's get into it, Jason. I'll let you kick us off with baby boomers and what a common oops or forgotten item in their financial plan might be.
Well, and maybe this is obvious, maybe it's not, but I think for baby boomers, one that I see is just the long-term healthcare and planning for what happens if either it's assistance at home, whether it's assisted living, whether it's skilled nursing care, what are you going to do in that scenario and how are you going to pay for it? And so the planning options include insurance. You can buy insurance for long-term care. It includes just setting aside some of your own assets to cover those costs and basically self-insuring. And then, of course, there are ways to qualify for Medicaid and have it paid for essentially through the Medicaid program.
I feel like we often talk with folks who are on opposite sides of a coin. And of course, this is a topic that has more than two sides, but a lot of folks are either doing really well planning to either self-insure or purchasing insurance for long-term care, or you have the people who say, you know, I'm never going into a long-term care facility. One of my parents went into long-term care and that's not going to happen to me. I'm going to move to Switzerland or Oregon and take care of that myself so that I'm not spending time in a facility. But you still have to plan for that. We don't often see the people who are planning to make that international trip when their health is in deep decline or planning to move to another state and transfer all of their assets to that new state so they don't have to deal with probate in multiple states. So it still requires planning no matter where you fall on either side of that or somewhere in the middle.
Absolutely. Lots of considerations there. And realistically, when you boil it down to the more sort of straightforward approaches, insurance, it's expensive. Nowadays, long-term care insurance is very pricey and it takes a big commitment. And you really do have to weigh the options and the benefits of the plan that you'd be purchasing versus its cost. I mean, it takes a really, really detailed analysis to see if insurance even makes sense to do. Medicaid planning is also expensive and requires a pretty good amount of diligence. You have to be very careful with how you construct the vehicles that allow you to qualify for Medicaid and what you're actually accomplishing when you're doing that. You know, and it requires drafting trusts in a lot of cases and so on. And then, of course, self-insuring, right? Using your assets and setting some of those assets aside, like earmarking a certain dollar amount for long-term care needs and sort of creating your own little fund. That's, of course, a way to do it. It's obviously much more straightforward and allows you to keep a lot more control of those assets. But one that often sort of sneaks in there that is sort of the fallback is, of course, if you own a home, you may have that home equity that you can use. And so obviously this is on the other side of the spectrum of something like Medicaid planning, where you're trying to preserve as much of those assets as possible. But yeah, if it fits in with your financial plan and your wishes and sort of what you want for your own care and your legacy goals, that home equity could be a really good source for that long-term care plan, if you have forgotten it and don't know where to start with as far as like how you're going to solve the issue.
I feel like it all comes down to just giving yourself options, whether that is relying on a home, choosing to purchase insurance, or relying on Medicaid as a fallback. Make sure you know what your options are and plan accordingly.
Yeah. Well, let's take a look at Gen X and think about where their sort of forgotten planning items come. And this one maybe isn't so much as a forgotten item as it's a, oh, wow, is it that time already? Because as we all know, if you have children, they grow up really quick. And before you know it, they are applying to college. And an episode or two back, we did talk about paying for college that you weren't prepared to pay for, some big old bill, maybe at an out-of-state school or something of the like. But how about just college altogether? You just sort of think about and assume your kids are going to college. But then all of a sudden, that day has come. And have you been preparing for it? Have you been saving?
And maybe it's something that you were working on, but like you said, Jason, maybe not to the extent that these children are going to need to rely on. So a big piece of it, like we'd mentioned before, is just talking to them, understanding what their expectations are as far as what college to go to, but then also the funding side of it. And of course, we know that if you haven't been saving, your kids haven't been saving, maybe you look at taking out some loans. But again, this comes down to having that conversation so that your children know, is my area of study going to be worthwhile for this amount of a loan that's going to follow me for, you know, at least the next 10 years? Maybe you could look at your cash flow plan. Maybe you could find some more dollars to allocate to college savings now if you're getting close, or to pay directly to the school if you are right there. But then there's also relying on other assets. And I know there's at least one type of asset that you should never rely on when it comes to funding education for kids.
What is that? Tell me what that asset is.
Retirement. They can take out loans for education. You can't take out loans for retirement.
Well, here's something I'm going to maybe challenge, maybe push back on that just a little bit. And that is, if you're intentionally saving for your education funding from your retirement assets. And when I say intentionally, I mean simply evaluating all of your goals, whether you're paying for that, you know, retirement picture for you and that college education and for your kids. And you look at where you're going to be adding those dollars. And maybe that's your 401k, your Roth IRAs, like all of these various places that you're putting dollars. And you realize that you can accomplish those goals by funding those accounts. Now, all of a sudden, maybe it is that Roth IRA that's coming in as a supplement for some of that college education spending. So it's always sort of this, when you think about putting your mask on first, sure, like make sure that you are preparing for the use of those assets in retirement when you can actually spend that money on whatever you want because it's your money. But at the same time, like don't overcommit to college funding by funding a 529 plan on the side when you're not even taking care of all of your own needs for retirement as well. So look at those assets sometimes as dual purpose as well. I think this is also, you know, a thing that goes overlooked in a lot of cases, and you just see someone overfunding a 529 plan and not even maxing out their Roth or their 401k accounts.
Okay, that's fair. But if you have those dollars destined to be your retirement that you're going to rely on, don't wipe that out and use it to pay for education.
Yeah, it's probably not a good break glass in case of emergency plan to use your retirement funds for education funding. Absolutely. You have to be intentional about that when you're going to use those funds for it.
And if you've been planning to use those all along as dual purpose, well, there you go.
With that,
let's get into our millennials, our Gen Y here. And I just have to jump in and say the one thing that I forgot when I was building my financial plan is hockey tickets. We do a quarter season ticket package every year, and it gets pretty expensive. So when I added that into my financial plan, my probability of success went down just a tick.
Well, that's okay, right? Because you have to have now goals. You have to have things that are for today. It's not all about retirement and long-term planning. It's about living for today, enjoying some of the fruits of your labor now. And that's what something like this is. Hockey tickets, travel, some things that you are doing today to enjoy your resources while also being prepared for the future. Don't get me wrong. Don't buy hockey tickets when you can't make all of the right steps and do the right things to prepare for your future. But make sure you do include those types of things in your current and future planning.
Absolutely. As I've said before, you don't know what the future has in store for you. If you bank everything on having a nice long retirement and end up with a health issue, well, you might not be able to enjoy that retirement as much. So make sure you find that balance. Enjoy your life now, whether it's hockey tickets or travel or just something else that you enjoy.
Yeah. Financial planning is all about prioritization. When it comes down to it, you are looking at a bunch of things that you want to do with your life and with your money, and you have to put them in a certain order. You have to give the long term a certain space, the near term a certain space, and then you have to compromise. You're not going to be able to do all the things all at once for all the different reasons, but you can put a certain order of priority on them. And so if it simply means, hey, in retirement, I'm going to have $100 less a month because I enjoyed my season tickets to the Abs. Great. Like, that's what you enjoy. That's what you prioritize now, and go for it. But make sure you're including that in your planning.
Absolutely. And one thing that our Gen Zers should definitely include in their plan, an EFOF. We have been guilty of not including cash reserves, or as we call them, EFOFs, Emergency and Future Opportunities Funds, in clients' financial plans of all ages. But I feel like this is really key when you are young and really building that financial foundation to make sure that you've got everything that you need to rely on in case of emergency.
Yeah, you've got your first career-oriented job, you're making good money, you want to lay that foundation. That's the time to do it. That should be, when we talk about priorities, that should be priority one. You've started to see this cash flow, it's a surplus. And rather than go and start to put priorities on, you know, doing all these fun and exciting things and taking trips to Vegas and the Bahamas and all of that, no, get the EFOF laid in place first, then start to look at some of those now goals and the future-oriented goals and all of that sort of retirement stuff. But it really is. It's a foundational piece that is going to help you with that sudden income disruption, those unexpected expenses, or even that next great opportunity that you just don't know when it's going to come right around the corner.
And Jason, with that, let's get into today's takeaways. I'll let you take it away with number one.
We're only human. We make mistakes. We forget about things, and that's going to happen. But financial plans will change and evolve. So add these things that you may have recently realized that you haven't been planning for when you identify them.
And takeaway number two is take action. When you realize, oh, shoot, you know, I forgot this, but it's really important to me, to my plan, to what I want to achieve in life. Talk to your financial planner, or if you're doing it yourself, add it to your financial plan. See what you might have to trim back to make this fit. See what dials you're going to turn and levers you're going to pull to work this into the plan that you currently have, or see what changes you might need to make to make it work out. It's always better late than never.
And speaking of financial planners, work with someone who's done it before, right? We've seen this through the eyes of dozens of clients, the rest of the sort of path that you're on. And a financial planner can help you avoid those missed goals, those missed opportunities, and avoid doing these sort of workarounds and rigging up a plan that maybe isn't as stable and solid as if you had identified some of these things earlier.
Now, what did we miss? Is there something that you've maybe forgotten in your financial plan, and a story you could tell about how you have done the workaround, how you figured it out? Let us know. Reach out to us at podcast@fpfoco.com.
Now, the part about this that I enjoy the most is, of course, talking into this microphone for the 15 or 20 minutes that we do. But you also got to keep in mind, this episode was written and produced by me, Jason Spessiner.
And me, Regina Neenan. I also edited the episode.
Well, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Jason Spessiner and Regina Neenan are investment advisor representatives of Financial Planning Fort Collins, a registered investment advisor. The information in this podcast is provided for general educational and entertainment purposes only. It may not apply to you or your specific circumstances and should not be considered financial, investment, or tax advice.